Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. So what comes to mind when you hear the phrase, learning a lesson the hard way? Do you think back to a lesson in your life you learned the hard way? Maybe something years ago that your parents tried to teach you, but you didn't heed their warnings and then found yourself in a pickle? Or maybe you think about times you have tried to teach your own children something, but they didn't listen and ended up learning the lesson the hard way. Well, whether from our parents or friends or coworkers or team members, we all can look back on times we chose not to heed a wiser person's advice and experience, and we ended up suffering the consequences. And now, as the wiser ones ourselves, we try to help our kids, our grandkids, our coworkers, our friends to learn from our experiences so they can avoid learning the hard way. You know, it's especially painful to learn a lesson the hard way when the consequences, when the lesson has major implications. This is what aches the hearts of parents and grandparents when we watch our children or grandchildren make choices that are contrary to what we've tried to teach them and will have long-lasting, negative, even harmful implications. We don't want to see our loved ones hurt, yet sometimes that is what it takes before they learn that what we were trying to teach them was indeed the right way. Well, as we begin our newest study from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth's book, Heaven Rules, we open to chapter 4 in the book of Daniel and jump smack into King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's sharing in chapter 4 of Daniel how he learned a lesson the hard way. Now, for context, King Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, and they'd taken captive God's people many years before. Now, among those taken into captivity were the best and the brightest from among Israel's youngest men. And Daniel was one of those taken into captivity in Babylon. Now, Daniel eventually was recognized for his outstanding qualities and abilities, and he was put in the king's palace to serve the king, and he was designated one of the king's wise men. Well, even though he worked in the king's palace, Daniel never gave up his faith or worship of the one true God. And so God was with Daniel and gave Daniel favor as he was serving the king, even as a captive. One of the gifts that God gave Daniel was the ability to interpret dreams, to understand their meaning. So as we open Daniel chapter 4, we meet King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most powerful man on earth. He had built a huge empire and had enjoyed a great many military victories. And it was said that his kingdom reached to the end of the earth. It was so vast. And didn't King Nebuchadnezzar know it? He was a man whose kingdom was only exceeded in size by his ego and arrogance and pride. Nebuchadnezzar's pride had expanded as his empire did, and he brazenly took credit for all his achievements. He did not recognize the hand of God that had permitted these things to happen. So God decided he needed to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. So God gave Nebuchadnezzar a warning in the form of a dream one night, a dream that troubled him and about which he couldn't make sense. So he called in Daniel to interpret what the dream meant. Well, Daniel told the king that his dream of a huge tree towering over all nature represented himself, King Nebuchadnezzar, and his empire, and that in the dream, the cutting down of the tree to a stump and then being forced to live like a wild animal is what would happen if he, King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't acknowledge God. We read about this in Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king, Daniel is speaking. You, meaning Nebuchadnezzar, will be driven away from the people and will live like the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times or 7 years will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Well, that was Daniel's interpretation, God's interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Crazy, but true. God was trying to teach King Nebuchadnezzar a lesson through this dream so he wouldn't have to learn it the hard way. The lesson that God is in control, that heaven rules. But unfortunately, King Nebuchadnezzar decided not to heed God's warning from the dream, and he went on living arrogantly and pridefully for another 12 months, the scripture tells us. And our patient God gave him these 12 months to change his ways. Until one day, God's lesson came due, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven out of his kingdom for 7 years and lived like a wild animal on the edge of a mental breakdown, just like God warned in the dream. During that time, Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way that heaven rules and God is always in control. Our author of the book Heaven Rules writes this. On page 29 of her book, she writes, "By heaven rules, of course, I mean God rules. The God of heaven rules. He rules over every tide of history, over every king and kingdom, over every activity we undertake, over every person and part of his creation. Heaven rules is a right-sizing truth, putting our view of God, our view of ourselves, and our view of our problems in proper perspective. It's a truth meant to instill healthy fear within every proud heart that aims to be its own ruler and that believes we humans can determine our own direction and destiny." She goes on to write this at the bottom of page 29. Heaven rules means He, God, is sovereign over everything that touches us, that nothing comes to us unbidden by his desire to use it for our good and for his glory and for the greater things he created us to be a part of. He is ruler over every diagnosis and prognosis, over all incomes and outcomes, over the most daunting challenges, as well as the most seemingly trivial details of our lives. Yes, heaven rules. But our God is a gracious God, and he does not delight to see his children suffer. And so after 7 years, King Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself and came to his senses. Our author writes this on page 42 of her book. 7 years later, the once arrogant king of Babylon had finally come to see life through a completely different lens. At the end of those days, he said, I looked up to heaven and my sanity returned to me, said Nebuchadnezzar. Finally, he'd wasted all those years pushing back against what the angel and Daniel had said about the Most High being ruler. And yet, all these years later, the truth was still the same. It was right where the truth had been always, right where the truth always is, just waiting for an ancient king, or maybe the person we see in the mirror each day, to acknowledge that heaven rules. Heaven ruled then. Heaven rules today. Heaven will rule tomorrow and heaven will rule through all eternity. And she closes with this: how much better, rather than living 7 or more years of unnecessary, self-inflicted turmoil and humiliation, if we just go ahead and live now inside the comfort and courage of God's forever rule. It's where the future meets the present, where His omnipotence meets our frailty, where comfort meets courage, and where nobody ever has to go crazy in the process. End quote. Well, you know, the truth we acknowledge today is that heaven rules, that all we have is from God's gracious hand, that it is God who is to get the glory, and that God is always in control. So we need not be anxious in anything. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First tele-Bible study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.